Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
Well, my name is Jordan Imani Keith, and I always introduce myself by telling my whole name because it means descending faith from the forest or descending faith from the battle. Imani is Kiswahili for faith. And of course, we know Jordan is river. And I feel like that's important for people to recognize, especially people who pay attention to biblical traditions of how you change your name and who what you're being called, but also what you're calling into the universe. So for me, part of what has come from my name is an obsession with water and a deep hope and belief that there's something that if we focus on it can create unity between people and unity between how we treat the rest of the planet and each other. So on my journey about thinking about water, it's led me both to examine what kind of things we put in the water and understand that the water is the water within us and the water outside of us. And so what I mean by that is what I've come to call and have us hopefully think of ourselves as human estuaries. And I've talked about this in my TED Talk, but in the context of our spiritual walk, it's also important for me to share what I learned from the mother of one of my friends who was wrestling with what really does the Trinity mean? We talk about this and we recite it and we act like we understand it. But I remember as a child going to Sunday school with my sister, and it was the Sunday school before you got to go to the cool Sunday school, like the teenage Sunday school where they already knew everything and they always seemed cool. And you were like still the elementary school Sunday school, which was not as much fun. It was like cotton balls and you're going to make a lamb out of cotton balls. Like nothing really happened. But by the time we were supposed to be promoted, you know, or graduate to go to the teenage Bible study Sunday school, we started to question, and she started to question out loud, like, what? This does not make any sense. These people, quote unquote, they don't know what they're talking about. Like, is he the son or is he the head or like, is he God or not? He's in all this. And so I agreed with her that we should skip Sunday school and just walk around the block and keep our money for Sunday school and buy candy for it later. Ironically, both of us have faith walks that are really central to how we live our lives now. And I don't know what her evolution has been or thought process about, like, yeah, does that make sense? This whole foundation of Christianity? But my friend's mother, who's Presbyterian, and I was raised Presbyterian, she's 82 now. And somewhere in her late 70s, she said to her daughter, you know, I always felt ashamed that I didn't really get it. Like, I didn't really understand this. But it occurred to me that, oh, it's like water. Water exists simultaneously in three states. they're always water, but they're completely different and they function completely differently. And once she understood that, it was like a huge aha. And her daughter, who calls herself a cultural Christian, does, you know, celebrates like many people do the holidays or whatever, but doesn't really believe, knows that I believe, and thought to share that with me, both because of my obsession with water, but because of my spiritual life. And I feel like it's important to share that with other people, because as much as we might want to, and we need to often accept the things that don't really make sense or seem like, wait, how could that happen? There is right in front of us and everything about us, this connection to water. And through so many stories in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, there's so much that refers to water and those connections. And it suddenly occurred to me that, in fact, this divine understanding is all around us. And it occurred to me yesterday, I think, oh, well, it does make sense to say that we are partakers of the divine nature, if the divine nature means that it's a manifestation or showing itself in the way that water exists. Our bodies are mostly water. There is nothing living on the planet that can live without water. To me, that tells me everything I need to know, and could tell us everything we need to know. So whatever happens to the water happens to all of us, regardless of what we believe about creation or don't believe in creation, or what we believe about salvation or don't believe in salvation. We don't get to be separate from that. We are connected to one another. Now, my favorite thing is so many things are buried in the Bible. And I use that word loosely because there's so many different references for the text, but that we call the Bible, and then you find out, oh, somebody else's Bible has these books or doesn't have these books. But the stories that many of us are familiar with, Judeo-Christian, Islam, religions, have this same thread, the same foundation. And in those stories, water plays a huge role, right? And even our act of baptism requires water. So what is that about? Like, what is that pointing to? And there's a Japanese scientist whose name, sadly, I can't call, but his work is referenced in the funny movie, What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway? And in it, there's a section where the main character is looking at this display in the subway and learns about water. And what this Japanese scientist has been able to document and people have been able to recreate is that water actually responds to emotion. That water is always water, but the crystals in the water change based on what you think or say to it. That is insane. That is incredible. And what does that mean? Which is what the movie brings up. What does that mean when we are mostly water? How do we see ourselves, and how might we respond to one another? What happens to the crystals of water in our body? And it's an incredible thing to know. And you can find his work and the books about his focus on water, including praying towards water that needs healing. And then people taking the water before it was prayed over and then taking it after. So a lot of things that we might practice as part of our spiritual traditions, borrowing from the person that I did a painting meditation class with yesterday, there is a level of mysticism to them that we don't explore or understand, but it's still there whether we know it or not. But could knowing it matter? Well, for me it does. Maybe somebody else it might too. So I want to share that. I also feel it's really important to understand that when I say the waters within and without, suddenly I was like, oh yeah, that's like that creation story, you know, the waters above and the waters below. I forget. That's what everything talks about, dividing the waters from above, from from the waters from below. So here we are. We're mostly water. And whatever we put on our bodies and put in our bodies is absorbed and becomes part of those waters within us. And those waters leave us through excretion, through sweat and urine. And they go back and are part of the water cycle. I call it the water web. And I refer to this, if you look in the Yes Magazine, I wrote an article about it. In our TED Talk, I talk about it. But I call it the water web because somehow we have extracted ourselves from the rest of the natural world. And I'm advocating that we reinsert ourselves mentally and on posters to understand we are not separate from what is happening to the waters of the planet, and that those waters are going to come back to us. So if we start, if all we can do is protect the waters within us, then that will, by necessity, mean protecting the waters that other creatures inhabit and protecting each other over the planet and becoming aware that, for example, just right now, we're in the midst of smoke. Well, that smoke is traveling all the way to Seattle, travels all the way to the East Coast 2 years ago. The fire's here in Holden in Canada. The smoke went all the way to the 3,000 miles away. My brother was coughing from asthma. Well, water and smoke and these elements, they all travel. So we might be more privileged. And the water we drink immediately may seem cleaner. But a lot of times the difference is people in other countries or in parts of our country die from an acute exposure to something in the water. And we are exposed chronically to something later that says, huh, well, they developed this cancer or that cancer, or we don't know why their thyroids aren't working and all of these things that are manifesting. We can trace back to what's in the water. So I feel like that's my song. That's what my obsession and my song to talk about. Like, this is important. And there's something to be known here. And we, as the United States and other countries, are very focused on leaving this planet. But here we are. And we have an ocean. And that is mostly what the planet is. So what does it mean if we can explore that?
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.